The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Coming at you from the ATL, from inside the paint and beyond the arc, this is nothing but Nest, your Atlanta Hawks podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Deshaun Tate and Caleb Johnson.
Welcome into Nothing But Nest, another week of this podcast covering the Atlanta Hawks. Caleb Johnson in with you with my co-host, Deshaun Tate. Follow us on social media at ATLJohnson18 is where you can find me. At Tate's Take Hoops is where you can find Deshaun Tate. The Hawks are 10-7 overall, now sixth in the Eastern Conference, still first in the Southeast, although I'll continue to say that doesn't really matter. But an interesting stretch of a couple of games since we last talked. Deshaun, how are you, and what's your thoughts quickly of just what you've seen so far of the Hawks over the past couple of games?
The only thing that has been consistent, I feel like, about this team is that they have been consistently inconsistent.
I was waiting for it. Yeah.
Like that's kind of where I am with it. Dude, between of the last probably like 7 or 8 games, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. It's almost like, all right, I got a good feeling that I know exactly what's going to happen when that Sacramento game comes up, because the most recent game for Atlanta was a loss. So that's just kind of the vibe and the energy that I got. But, you know, I got a couple things that I'm going to throw your way and ask you about, because I'm kind of curious to know what you've been seeing in terms of what has been the most consistent, because there hasn't been a lot of consistency.
Yeah, I'm with you, you know, in the inconsistency. Of course, it feels like everyone is just really focused in on the three-point shooting, which is...
That's been consistent, Caleb. Been consistently poor.
It had been until, you know, the Hawks play the Cavs, which that was a strange thing, is Atlanta actually shot relatively well against the Cavs. What was it, like 40%? I can't remember now. I had the stats up in front of me. Which was strange. You know, it's one of those, like, are they actually turning a corner? And you would start to think, you know, you maybe could make those assumptions that, okay, cool, they finally beat, are they finally have a really solid, like, shooting night from three, 32%. Never mind.
I didn't think it was at 40, but
it was going well in the first half. That's what I remember.
It sounded good. No, wait, this is the truth. Yeah. But I'm glad you said that, though, Caleb, because the reality is this. Guess what? That 32%, because they've been shooting so poor, it felt like it was close to 50%. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We were at that point of it all. And listen, I mean, that's not the upward trajectory of consistency that you want to be on, just because of the poor shooting and what have you. But, you know, when you say you had that feeling, like wondering, not a terrible performance from distance against the Cavs. Are they turning a corner? It's really hard to say that after like 100 games of poor, you know, three-point shooting, and then you get that one game where it's like halfway decent. It's like, I think they're turning the corner. That's the kind of optimism that you want to feel. That's how much Hawks fans and Hawks Nation, including me and you, have really been just kind of sitting and just like on pins and needles waiting for this team to shoot just at least 30, 35%.
Well, the one thing that has been consistent this season is, and just honestly in years past, is the Hawks struggling against the Toronto Raptors. That's a team that, you know, we had talked about before. They have size. And so with that, they're able to, and they're a team who can switch 1 through 5. Very difficult for the Hawks. Something they want to do too much, and not something they can do, especially with Clint Capella. You know, he's not a guy who can make all of those switches. The big thing for Saturday's game against the Raptors was no Pascal Siakam and no Otto Porter Jr. And I remember I was in Missouri hanging out with our guy Will Pelagic, doing some bachelor party stuff in Missouri, and I did an interview with Chris Thomas on 92.9 The Game, and he asked me of, like, you know, what I thought this game was going to look like, and I was like, well, no Pascal Siakam, so I feel very confident for the Hawks. Yeah. Because he's been a guy who, you know, has really, really hurt the Hawks when he's seen, when he's come to town, and he was going to be out. And so, you know, I thought, hey, the Hawks have, you know, a really, really good shot in this and can maybe even take this to be like a really solid win. It was not that at all. For most of the game that I was trying to get streaming on my phone, which wasn't working very well, was that Scotty Barnes decided to be the one to step up to try to kill the Hawks, going 4 of 8 from three. We talk about poor three-point shooting. That was not Scotty Barnes and the Raptors in general. And I was like, I thought this is going to be a runaway for the Raptors, missing Pascal Siakam. And I was really about to get on here today thinking, Deshaun, what did I say in Thursday's podcast? Can the Hawks afford to go 0-3? You said no. And I said, schedule wise, yes, but like team wise, no. And they are in a Trae Young pass and AJ Griffin layup away from that being the case. I mean, just thank goodness they pulled that one off.
Yeah, the look up ahead by Trey, dude. And I mean, those are the little things when you're not playing well. And we see this from other guards. I think this is the thing that makes Trae Young so special, right? Is that, you know, we always, you know, talk about what he can do, what he cannot do. There's always going to be those people that's talking about, well, he's a street baller and he's not the leader you want him to be. And he's not the vocal person, you know, and all these other things. You know, he always takes all of these ridiculously crazy shots and stuff like that. But, you know, the crazy part of it is, though, Caleb, is that, you know, you have to look at the bright side of it. You know, when he's making those shots, everybody loves it. When he's missing those shots, everybody hates it. But one thing that he does bring as a bonus in addition to this team is his cerebral mind, his ability to have a high IQ, the facilitator, the distributor, looking up ahead for, you know, the future play or the future pass, where you did find AJ Griffin, and to have the you know, the confidence in your rookie to be in the right place at the right time and not fumbling. I mean, that's a big time moment for a guy. You know, I get it. Unless it's like, yo, he's, you know, it's you know, he's a professional, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but guys go through their moments too. Sometimes it's easy to just, those things that slip right through your hands or anything. I mean, we're all human. So, you know, with the Siakam thing, listen, Scotty Barnes has continued to show that he is, you know, going to be a force in this league, especially as like a point forward. And this is a Toronto team that's really hard to prepare for anyway. They got a lot of length. It doesn't matter if Siakam's out there or not. A lot of length, a lot of athleticism. They're very well coached, and they play well together as a team. I think that's what makes them so dangerous. The roster isn't what has made them so dangerous up to this part. It is the fact that how well that they play together. They don't have that Kawhi Leonard on there anymore, but they still play together the same way. They don't have the Kyle Lowry anymore, but they still play together the same way. It's what they have built and established. And I think that's why we saw the Hawks struggle against them the last couple of times that they played, but luckily enough was able to prevail and pull out a W.
Yeah, so give credit to Nick Nurse for his ability to get that roster of players. I mean, even like we look at Pascal Siakam as this great player in the league. Man, he was a D-League guy. Like that's the kind of thing is that's what Nick Nurse has been able to. Am I saying that right?
$20 right now, Caleb Johnson. $20. No, after you did this to me last week, I'm all over it now. $20, Caleb Johnson. Where did Pascal Siakam go to college?
Oh no.
Yes.
I don't know.
Add another number to the right side of or to the left side rather of the result column for me to the right side for Caleb. New Mexico State.
Okay.
Well, what people don't know, and I promise you I won't go down the Aggies. College realm. Look at Caleb Johnson.
No, you know why I know that? It's because this weekend I was at a football game, University of Missouri versus New Mexico State.
Oh, okay. It's all making sense. It's all coming together now.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about Pascal Siakam at that game. They just they watched as the Tigers won by like 50 or 48 or something like that. Yeah, it was bad, but
No lunch for you today, Caleb. No. Maybe next time.
Wow. Okay. So I didn't know that. No, the thing that was kicking around in my head is I kept saying Nick Nurse, and for whatever reason, that like sounded wrong. I was I think maybe I was thinking Nick Nolte or something like that, like old 80s, 90s movie star. Anyways, give him credit for his ability to coach up this team. Also, in the same respect, I really was just teeing that up to say give Nate McMillan his love. And his credit for the fact of that overtime play that won the game for the Hawks was a play that they apparently run in like at the end of almost every practice. Like that was the big conversation at the end of that game is that they were very comfortable with that play. And obviously like AJ Griffin's going to get the love for scoring the basket, for having that big moment as a rookie, as he should. Also 17 minutes and 30 minutes, 17 points and 30 minutes played AJ Griffin had against the Raptors. Minutes keep going up. And,
silencer,
his impact keeps going up on this team. Also, you know, doing it in front of his dad being an assistant coach for the Raptors, like really, really cool thing for him. But I think Nate McMillan needs to get his credit. A lot of Hawks fans don't think Nate is that, you know, impactful on the floor when it comes to set plays and coaching and that sort of thing. Hey, he called the game winner and it worked out. And thankfully the Hawks over this 3-game stretch, I would claim, at least have one win.
People will never be satisfied, Caleb, because when Lloyd Pierce wasn't doing well, and of course you insert Nate McMillan, he's like the savior. This is exactly what we've been needing. And then you're barely even, not even 2 full years probably removed from that. And it's like already ready to move on. And I get it. Expectations get high and everything else, especially when you win. And I know we got to move on to, you know, either the next segment or to the Cleveland game. But, you know, it's just, you know, people get unhappy, man. Like give it some time, at least let it play through. See what it's about. I mean, it is the Atlanta Hawks at the end of the day. Not a dig, but it is the Atlanta Hawks at the end of the day. Give it some time. Like, this thing has to work out. And that's what I'm telling people even about this Cleveland game, too. It's the same deal. You know, with the inconsistencies and the three-point shooting and the, you know, the still developing. And I know people are like, dude, you say this every week and we keep playing more and more games. When is it going to end? But you're still developing and establishing chemistry between new players on this team. So I know that, you know, you kind of want to get into that a little bit, but I just really believe that. Go ahead.
No, it was just that, just on that idea, I'm at a spot where I'm not giving an excuse to this team for chemistry, but I do understand that it is still something they're working through. Like, the reason I'm not giving them the excuse is because of the team that you just faced on Monday night. Like, you face a Cleveland Cavaliers team who just got Donovan Mitchell and paired him with Darius Garland, and that's working. Like, that tandem. What was what? Let's see. I had it pulled up right in front of me.
Yeah, they came in together. I mean, we
29 points and 26 points. Yeah.
Correct. We were just having this conversation, Caleb, the other day, last week on our podcast.
About
who's the better duo? Who's the better backcourt in the East? And it's kind of starting to feel like, fair or unfair, after only one meeting has been played, because this is going to be played again in Atlanta and is very much likely going to look the opposite of what we saw on Monday. But as of right now, I don't think that, you know, based on what we've seen, it's not looking like much of a question. Partially because of the consistency that Cleveland has shown and the inconsistency of Atlanta. And they're painting themselves looking very well together.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, you have to mention the fact of when the Hawks played the Cavs Monday night, did not have DeAndre Hunter. He was out with a non-COVID illness. Yeah. Guys get sick. It's that time of year. It's flu season, all those sorts of things. So didn't have DeAndre Hunter, which meant a call-up for the rookie, A.J. Griffin. Griffin gets his first career start. Really big deal. Coming off the game winner over the Raptors, which I think is pretty cool. But it's also, it showed the faith that Nate McMillan has in A.J. Griffin. And honestly, kind of the lack of faith that Nate McMillan has in and Justin Holiday, because I don't know if you noticed, but Justin Holiday's minutes have kind of
decreased.
Yeah, they've been tanking.
Diminished.
It's almost, it's not like, not to the point of he's not playing at all, but his minutes definitely relatively unimpactful, especially like he played 16 minutes against the Cavs, didn't score a point. You know, it's just one of those, come on now. We need more. But I'll keep it positive. AJ Griffin plays 36 minutes, has another 17-point night, much like he did against the Raptors.
Good for him.
3 of 6 from 3-point. Yeah. And I think that was a really big part of that. He didn't shoot the 3 because no one did particularly well, once again, against the Raptors. But it seemed like guys were actually knocking down 3s in this one. All except for, you talk about the tandem, the duos, you know, we're looking at Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, you're looking at Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. This might have been the worst game from DeJounte Murray all season.
Yeah.
Just looked lost. 4 of 17 from the field, and 11 points is all he contributed. Just an odd, it's going to happen, but I think it gets heightened even more when it happens against one of the best, what I would consider one of the best duos in the league, and certainly in the Eastern Conference.
You know, the thing is about that, Caleb, is we've been giving Trae Young a lot of crap, man, for the last few weeks.
Yeah,
we have. Mm-hmm. And the bright spot has been DeJounte Murray and all of it. He's been the one that's come in and made the significant difference and look on defense, the energy and the vibe. And the, that was me, this person that said, at some point, it won't surprise me that we're going to get ready to start hearing people say, you know, scratching your head, is DeJounte Murray starting to steal some of the shine away from Trae Young conversations? Like, that was this person that had that feel that that's where we were getting to. And I'm not sure that we're completely far away from that still, but I think people are starting to see that DeJounte Murray, Debo Murray, as I like to call him, because he steals everything. I think we're starting to see that he's human. And you know, when I was looking at something and taking a note of this, the, you know, on yesterday, Debo Murray has not converted on multiple three-point attempts. His last conversion on multiple three-point attempts was 2 weeks ago to the date against Milwaukee. Okay. Since that game, that puts him at 6 for 30 from three. Okay. He's attempted more free throws. He's attempted four free throws in three games. Took me a minute to get that out. I'm so flabbergasted by all of it. It's ridiculous, Caleb.
Yeah.
Four free throws in three games total. One game didn't even shoot a free throw. The other two games, sure, he went 100%. He was 2 for 2. I mean, I hope so. But you've got to get to the line more. Like, that's the other thing that people don't see about Trey. There's always so many people that say, oh, I love to add DeJounte Murray. I love that. And we do. And we do appreciate that. And we are grateful and thankful for adding him to this team. And this just going, I guess this is more so I'm speaking to some of the people who have been like dogging Trey Young. I'm not saying he's been playing great, but dogging Trey Young and making it out to seem like DeJounte Murray is all world. Love having him here. Love his defensive ability. Love the way he's challenging Trey Young in different areas, amongst so many other things, making guys better around him, .. But, like, it's becoming a point where the one thing that we do appreciate about Trey, besides facilitator and the distributor and all those things, like, the other part about that is he will get to the line.
Yeah.
He will find a way to get to that big free space on the bingo card, as I like to call it. Like, he will get there. Finding himself whatnot, you may not always like it. It's gonna look floppy and it's gonna look, you know, throw a shot up at the backboard when there's a whistle being blown or whatever. But the other part of that about DeJounte Murray is that he hasn't attempted more than four free throws only one time in this month of November. We're 3 weeks in. We're talking, it's Thanksgiving. It's almost Turkey Day.
Yeah.
You have to go to the free throw line more than four times in a game, more than just one time, four times in a game. Like, that is unacceptable. That's something that he has to work on. And I think over time we'll see it. But there's other guys that I'm frustrated at, to be honest. You was talking about Justin Holiday, Aaron Holiday. Let me tell you something. If you're gonna take 6 to 7 attempts in a game, Caleb, realistically speaking, I don't care who's in, who's out. Okay. The last two games he has gone, you know, he's gone like 2 for 12 collectively. He's gone 1 for 6 in two of the last three games. You've got to be better at hitting those jump shots.
And
if the two guys that shoot the most on this team, talking about Debo and Trigger Trey, are going to pass up the rock, not that they're doing much better, but if they're going to be the ones, you know, sacrificing their, you know, their shots, their high volume, high octane, and swing it over to you, and you're going to take that shot, you're going to take 6 of them, you got to hit more than one.
Yeah, well, and here's my problem with how I'm seeing Aaron shoot on the floor, which is sometimes he's standing next to Trey Young, like, and sometimes it's very early in the shot clock, and I'm looking around like, sir, who do you think is on the back of your jersey? Like, what name do you think that reads back there?
Maybe he thinks it's Drew Holiday, his brother. I don't know.
Well, you know, because fair enough, because they don't put the little J, or they don't put the little, why can I not? It would be, I guess, JR for Drew, JU for Justin. And then Aaron. They don't do any of that. They just leave it as the Holiday.
The Holiday, But
I've seen Aaron a few times come down the floor, and I'm thinking, like, did you think your jersey said Young on
something
the back?
Something that it doesn't say, right?
Yeah,
right,
because
right.
It was one of the, like, the way he's taken some of these shots, and it's honestly, like, there's been, it was against Boston. It got him benched, where literally he took a fadeaway, you know, a step back fadeaway, and missed it, not surprising. And Nate was like, all right, now I'm done. We're not doing this. And that, I mean, it kind of goes back to something that we've discussed a little bit. And I do want to save a bit of this conversation for the final segment of our show, only for the fact of it's very important of who the opponent is that the Hawks will see Wednesday night. But overall picture, Holiday Brothers have not lived up to the expectations put on them and what the Hawks need to get out of them. And surprisingly or unsurprisingly, I guess unsurprisingly, Onyeka Okongwu has more than held his own coming off the bench. And I still think Jalen Johnson has done a really, really solid job coming off the bench. He had a really another really solid night, I would say, in his limited minutes against the Cavs. Was what, 2 of 3 from three? That you talk about, what Nate McMillan said it a couple weeks ago, the fact that when they drafted Jalen, they didn't think they were getting somebody who could really shoot the three, which is, I was like, well, you certainly said the opposite to the fans, you know, and certainly that was the opposite of what you were expecting projection wise out of him. But it seems like he's been able to hit some of those threes recently, and it's working for him. So I hope he continues to shoot them. I know Nate McMillan is saying he wants to see John Collins shoot more threes, which I'm still a bit concerned about, but he's at least hitting them as of recent. And he's another guy that we'll spend some time focusing on. But I just felt like big picture from the Cavs game, I'm not that concerned about the loss. It's just the little things that were happening in the game that were like, oh, okay. So you spent so much focus in the offseason improving the defense, which is going to cause your offense to not have as many shooters. And then your defense wasn't able to slow down the two-headed monster of the Cavaliers. So that, you know, that's where I go like, okay, that's problematic, but actually like losing the game itself, it's going to happen. You know, DeJounte Murray's not always going to be lights out.
Agreed. And when you, you know, when you don't have who many people believe to have been the second best player on this Hawks team, but before D'Bo Murray got here, being DH12, not Dwight Howard, but DeAndre Hunter, you know, it can occasionally look like that. And not only that, but even from a defensive standpoint, like think about it. The Cavs scored 38 first quarter points, okay, on Monday. That's a poor start that the Hawks cannot really afford. Like, contenders aren't going to allow you to rally back, especially after, you know, Cleveland went on like a 12-0 run early in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. It was like they were throwing the ball into, you know, or throwing a nickel into a wishing well almost. But it's not just what you don't have. And this is why it's somewhat excusable for me, because when you don't have a player like, you know, DeAndre Hunter, who's one of the more probably the most well-balanced player on this team, maybe, okay? Just because of what he's able to give you on offense, equally on defense. I think those are the key things from, you know, the other night against Cleveland, and even more so, Atlanta Hawks, if you're going to force turnovers, 20, you can't give up a lot of turnovers also. 17. I think sometimes those were some of the bigger deciding factors for what we saw against Cleveland specifically.
All right, Deshaun, now let's get into it. Something that I'm sure you often talk about, the fact that you like to talk about, you know, on the court basketball, the stuff that's going on the court. And I'm often a guy who loves to get into the off-the-court stuff. Give me all the drama and everything like that, because I have a lot of opinions. I have a lot of thoughts, and I enjoy that. And sometimes I need guys like you to explain some of the X's and O's of, like, why did this happen? Why was this guy kind of not covered? That sort of thing. So
how do I always get the drama filled people in my life, Caleb? I don't understand how that works.
I'm sorry. You know, that this is what God intended for you, I guess. You know,
clearly.
Well, So I usually, I say that that's very important. I usually enjoy the drama. I enjoy the off the court stuff that gets involved to the game that just makes the game more interesting, you know, one way or another. This time around, I'm so incredibly annoyed at the off court drama. And I'm going to put those in big quotation marks because this is the most created fake news drama that could happen around the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks have been a team this season free of drama for the most part. And yet, Shams Charania on Friday of last week comes in with this big report. And what name does he throw in there that the Atlanta Hawks are having trade discussions with other teams? None other than, oh, it's John Collins once again.
Yeah.
When you, because I sent this to you, Deshaun, you said you had already seen it. When you saw that John Collins' name was once again brought up in trade discussions, what were your thoughts?
Shocker. Okay. For the people who can't physically see my facial expression right now and can only, you know, hear us, you know, it is the perfect and most ideal time for the eye rolling emoji. Okay. Like that is, I was always wondering, and I meant to ask you this some time ago, which I never got a chance to, and I hate myself for it, but how many games are going to be played, Caleb, before, you know, we start hearing John Collins' name and trade rumors again? Like, I always felt that it was coming to that, you know, and I know that there's been the talks, but I'll let you throw the names out of who, you know, they have mentioned. But I'll tell you this much. Has John Collins, and can he say within himself truly and honestly that he has done enough in, what are we looking at? 16 games, 17 games? What are we looking at, Caleb?
We're 17 now, but 15 at the time of the report.
15 at the time of the report. Can he say within 15 to 17 games that he has done enough, more than enough, because we know sometimes that's what you have to do in life, going the extra mile amongst other things to say, this is, I should no longer be in these conversations. And I like the way that he's played defensively, Caleb, that has shown like that he shouldn't be in those conversations. It's offensively, I feel like, which is something I never thought that we would say about John Collins as to why I can't exactly tell you that he shouldn't be in these conversations. Like, think about it real quick. Monday night against Cleveland, one rebound, one, uno. Do they got a medium in the back, Caleb? Okay, I can give you one rebound. I can chase down a rebound. Yeah. All right, bad black lungs and all. Okay, I can give you a freaking rebound, like not the let's all decide to kill John Collins moment by no means. But this is what we're talking about. Sometimes we've already got on Trey, so we're not gonna say we didn't do that first. We already got on Debo, so we're not gonna say we didn't do that first. We've gotten on Jalen every single day of this podcast. Okay. But in the Caleb has been, you know, hard in at times on Clint Capella. We've done our part, dude. We're waiting on you to step up. When you have those moments that Jalen that Trey isn't shooting well, when you have those moments that Debo isn't shooting well, like we're seeing lately, like it's looking like people are having conversations about DeAndre Hunter being the second best player on this team. That's something that we probably shouldn't be saying when you're getting $125 million, okay? And most of that is coming off of being on the recipient end of lob passes where you're wide open and displaying plenty of athleticism, but giving you the ball out there on the perimeter to shoot a wide open jump shot and still not able to hit it, which I think is a great idea to keep feeding you. So I'm fending for you right now. I'm fired up, Caleb. I'm not.
I see you.
I'm fired up, dude, because I believe in, let me tell you why I'm fired up. Because I believe in John Collins, okay? He has shown me and proven to me wrong. I had very low expectations of John Collins coming in as a rookie, and he exceeded those, not just his first year as a rookie, but his second year, then his third year. Then he played well in his fourth year, but then things started slowly decline. I don't know what the whole film session mix up or whatever, dust up or whatever that was about, but it seems like ever since then, and again, I'm not saying this has anything to do with Trey, because it might just be between the ears. It might not be, I don't know. But things just hasn't seemed all the way right with John Collins since then. And they give you the 125. There was conversations about, all right, we're going to give you 80. And you're like, 80? I need 90. And it's like, maybe 85, but I really feel like you're stealing money if you do. 125. You're getting more than. You know what I'm saying, Caleb? Like, I'm just. I think it's time for me to be quiet now, because I might say some things, Caleb.
Well, the one thing that I do want to do is separate the rumors from the trade conversation. Because okay. the rumors that Shams Charania put out on Friday, to me, are bogus. Now, I'm not saying that people haven't had discussions, but you know as well as I do, Deshaun, people have discussions all the time. One of the funniest things that I thought was in that report, in that athletic report, it mentioned the Utah Jazz as being a team that the Atlanta Hawks had discussions with. I was at the game that the Hawks played the Utah Jazz. I saw the player agents who were there pregame walking around, shaking hands, having conversations. You know why that was happening? Because the Utah Jazz are looking to be sellers. The Utah Jazz did not expect to be top of the Western Conference. They expected to be sellers, bottom of the West, in the Watabanyaba, the Chubbawamba sweepstakes. They expected to be in those sweepstakes. And they're in a very different sweepstakes right now, which could be playing in the actual playoff for the Western Conference. It's wild. However, the Utah Jazz and Danny Ainge have always expected to be sellers, so it's not surprising that they were having trade discussions. However, if you are an agent and you have a player in Phoenix, Arizona, his name's Jay Crowder. He's very unhappy right now. He wants to be out of Phoenix, Arizona right now. He wants to be in another city.
Yeah.
What do? You let a reporter know, hey, the Atlanta Hawks are having trade discussions. So much so that, now I'm blanking on his name. Steve Koonin, Hawks.
Mm-hmm. See ya.
Yeah. Came on Dukes and Bell last week to say, we did not put those reports out. Those reports did not come from us. And I thought, yeah, I know they didn't. They came from Jay Crowder's people. Because they specifically named the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks as the two teams that were having discussions. Why was that? Oh, I bet if you were to ask Jay Crowder what's the two places he would like to be traded to, I bet it would be the Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks. Mm-hmm. So separate all of that stuff, because even in the report, it said a potential deal will be weeks or potentially months in the making ahead of the February 9th trade deadline. So why are you saying in November? Nobody's making trades in November. Why would you put it out there? Because there's a player who really wants to get himself out of his current situation. That's why the reports are there. Now, go ahead. Sorry.
No.
It was just that, like,
it's Caleb time. It's, well, Caleb's take.
I have like that bucket, and I need to put that bucket down, pick up the other bucket, which was the actually looking at trading John Collins itself. Probably a smart deal. Probably a smart thing to do at this point. You know why I say that? It's because I have to separate my head from my heart, because I love John Collins as a player. I love John for this city. There's just so many things that he's good at. He's a guy that if you're a media member and you need to talk to him, just very open and honest and polite and just like one of the most genuinely kind people on the face of the earth, much less in the NBA. However, you look at career lows in points per game, 12.6 points per game, I think, right now. He's shooting 26.9% from three-point, all career lows, and he's playing the most minutes he's ever played in his career. His impact, like, John Collins is a really good player, but I think we have reached the point, and I don't think we were always necessarily there, but I can understand if people would disagree with me. We're at the point where John Collins' impact is not enough to this specific team. What he, you talk about the one rebound. You know why he's not getting rebounds? Because usually someone else is down there grabbing it. It's usually because John Collins is sprinting to the three-point line because it's like, all right, well, let me get an open look. Or John Collins is setting a screen. You know, like there's so many other things that he's doing that do impact the game. But I just wonder if we've not reached the point where his services are no longer necessary in Atlanta, and if he wouldn't make a bigger impact somewhere else. Because what does John want to do? He wants to be involved more offensively. He's not shooting the three ball very well. However, in the last two games, he has. Like, I was trying to remember. He's like 4 of 8 in his last two games from three. Previously, he was 4 of 17, I believe, yeah. Or 4 of 21.
Somewhere along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, like it was drastic how well he shot the ball in the last couple of games versus before that. But you're right. 5 years, $125 million. Yeah, I get why you would want to move on that, which is something you have to consider. You look at 5 years, $125. And then you look at what the Hawks gave Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
And they decided they needed to move on from Kevin Huerter. Interestingly enough, DeShaun Tate, Kevin Huerter and the Sacramento Kings come to town on Wednesday night.
The 6-game winning streak. Hold on. Let's give a moment of silence because you don't say that every day about the Sacramento Kings.
Well,
longest 6-game winning streak, and someone, like I told you before, I said this about, you know, a rookie in John Collins at that time. I'll say it about the rookie in Keegan Murray. I didn't see this out of Keegan Murray. I'm putting my hand up.
Keegan Murray?
It was me, Keegan Murray. I was the one. I did not see this out of Keegan Murray. He's averaging about 13 points per game for this team. He's playing really well right now. He's being consistent. He's looking like a really significant piece as top 3, top 5 pick for the Sacramento Kings right now. So we know that they don't always draft the best. Some way, somehow, they end up getting guys you think is going to be really good coming out of college. Then they get to the NBA level and they just don't pan out to be exactly what, I mean, they're the Sacramento Kings, the longest stint of any team in the NBA to not make the playoffs during a 6-game win streak. And you're going to come in here to Atlanta. And Atlanta's already coming off of a loss. Like, that's going to be an interesting game. And, of course, like you said, we get a chance to see Red Velvet. Hopefully he can cough up them coins finally that he owe me, man. I might start putting some interest on this stuff.
Uh-oh, I didn't know he owed you money.
He owed me $25, man. He owed me 25 coins, 25 big ones. We had a Michigan State Maryland right before
of course,
COVID hit. Oh, of course we did. You know, everybody in the media room's like, please don't get this dude started on college basketball. Leave him alone, okay? He wanted to take it there. The game before that, Maryland had just beat Michigan State, so he might have had his lucky underwear on. Okay, he's feeling good. And as soon as that happened, the whole COVID, Rudy Gobert, or who was it, was touching on all the microphones.
Yeah, it was Gobert.
And the third. And then next thing you know, like, we get separated. Now we're on Zoom. We can't talk to players. So I plan on being in the building on Wednesday, Caleb. I need my 25 big ones with interest. And I mean, you know, I'm going to talk a little noise to go with it.
Well, you know, I mean, Kevin's definitely got it after the contract that he signed with the Hawks that then got traded away to the Kings. And that's why I say, you know, you look at John Collins' contract and people make some eyes at how big that one is. You look at Kevin Huerter's contract. That was another big one. Obviously, he gets traded away for not playing reasons. there were some reasons. There was a certain luxury tax that a certain team that we talk about didn't want to be over. It is what it is. He then goes to the Kings. He's playing 32 minutes, shooting 49.5% from three-point.
Yeah.
49.5% from three-point and is also averaging 16.6 points, all career highs.
But you couldn't use this.
No, apparently not. Apparently, like, apparently this guy, because here was the thing, Deshaun. Everybody told us, said, well, you know, Kevin's defense is just, it's not good enough that he's limiting this team. And they would be right.
I don't think so. I don't see that.
No. Kevin Huerter's defense the last couple of seasons was a liability at some pretty important times.
Kevin Huerter's defense?
Yeah.
So we're going to pick apart. We're going to take other guys. Listen, I have a huge problem with that, Caleb. Let me tell you why. I know we got to get up out of here.
No, you're fine. We got time.
But I have a huge problem with that, and I'll tell you why. Listen. Number one. We don't even have to go into number 11's defense. We don't even have to do that. Okay, we're not going to do that. Okay?
You can't have multiple ones of those on the floor.
That's fine. So check this out. There's been way too many times that other guys I've sat back, not just about Kevin Huerter or this person. I think Kevin Herter's just bad on defense or just he's mediocre at best. But he was giving effort. He wasn't just letting guys go past him and say, well, I got Clint Capella down there I can rely on. Like, no, he wasn't doing that. He was a lead giving effort. When they made that run to the Eastern Conference Finals, he had made a significant jump in his defense.
You're right.
To what I saw that was a major contributing piece for this team. And he was still only getting better. Was he a great, amazing? Did he look like Debo Murray out there? No, he didn't. But in that same token, I can name other people that just really didn't look as good. Yes, you did have a guy like a DeAndre Hunter who's known for his defense. Anybody come from Virginia, they're going to be known for their defense. But in the same token, he was on the IR. Yes, Cam Reddish looked good on defense. Hell, I hope so. He looked terrible, atrocious on offense. But his defense was still pretty good. And it was pretty good. Maybe not amazing, but his defense was pretty good. Like Kevin Huerter, nobody brought him in here to think that he's going to be this amazing defender. You brought him in here to do the exact same thing that you just listed off, Caleb. You just talked about his percentages from three. You just talked about how many points he's averaging. When they brought him in, they brought in him, they brought in Trae Young, and they brought in Omari Spellman, and their whole thing was talking about trying to remake this Golden State Warriors and make it look like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, okay? And what does Klay Thompson do? Yes, he defends, of course, but his primary reason is to come in and shoot the jump shot, and he does that well off of from perimeter, from long distance, and he did it extremely well coming off of curls in the mid-range, a lost art in this league. So I don't want to hear people calling out Kevin Huerter because of his defense ability or lack thereof on this team. I think that's ridiculous. If you made a bonehead move and got rid of a guy that you needed, say that next time.
All right.
A little Tate's take for you, Caleb Johnson.
Well, and it's so funny too, because like in the Tate's take that I thought we would actually get to, and you might not even have anything much to say about it. Cause Deshaun always has something to say about arm sleeves, leg sleeves, this, that, player uniforms.
Listen, well, this isn't ballerina. What do you call it? This isn't a recital. Okay.
All right.
That we don't do stockings. You know what's the whole purpose of this? It's Tate's take right here, Caleb. Why are we wearing leg sleeves? One thing, like the MJ had the black and the red. Okay, I get that thing on the calf, but like or an injury, I can kind of understand that. But stockings now. I know we're getting closer to Christmas, but stockings now, Caleb. On both legs or one sleeve, they're trying to make fashion.
They look good.
It's leggings. It's women's leggings.
No, you know what Deshaun is? It's meggings. Cause I've got some. You wear them under your shorts, and it's just like it's a good look. It also keeps, you know, the wind off you, the cold out from outside. is when I usually like to throw them on. Or
basketball's they're playing the game inside, Caleb.
Yeah, it's more of a I would say a fashion thing, and they are also restrictive on your legs, so it helps with blood flow. So there is some additional purposes that they can help out with.
Is it too congested, you know, in the area? Because that'll be bothersome. Is it too congested? Because that's a problem. That's a problem just waiting to happen, Caleb.
I'm not touching that. The one thing, because what I wanted to ask you about was this whole, do you like Kevin Herter wearing the headband?
He looks like he grew his hair out a little bit. I seen you do it a couple times, Caleb, so don't try to act like I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what this thing's called.
I don't do that anymore. I mean, I can do a little that situation, but not
the wave.
I don't have the Justin Bieber, the old 2009 okay. Justin Bieber that flipped his hair. I used to have that look, but not anymore. No, but Kevin, it seems like he's growing his hair out to do the like Drew Timmy headband situation. It's not for me. I think it's a weird look, but I appreciate the fact that like Kevin decided this season, new city, like all of this new stuff. No, I'm going all in on the headband, and he's creating a new identity for himself out in Sacramento.
Good. Create your new identity and cough up them 25 big ones, Kevin Herter. Do that for your boy, and I think everything's great. The headband and the new city and the new – yeah, I just need to be $25 richer, man, and then we'll be good.
All right. Well, you can have that conversation with Kevin on Wednesday, and then when I talk to you on Thursday on 92.9 The Game, we'll see how that conversation went, because Deshaun and I for Thanksgiving won't be doing a full podcast. We will be doing a segment on my show on Thanksgiving morning that we can put out for you later in the day, so you still have content for us to talk about. We'll obviously be able to react to the Kings game, hopefully a win, because I think it's a very tough stretch right now, Deshaun. If the Hawks go lost to the Celtics, lost to the Cavs, and then lost to the Kings before getting what if I remember correctly, is a bit of an easier schedule than it was the previous week before. But that's all the time we've got. And like I said, we'll talk to you on Thursday from the show on 92.9 The Game. Please listen out on Odyssey, much like you listen to this podcast on Odyssey. Go and find the show Thursday, 9 a.m. to noon is when I'll be on, and I'll figure out at what point we'll have Deshaun on. But that's all we've got for this episode of Nothing But Nest, and we'll talk to you next week.
Go subscribe.